All right, let's go ahead and pray before we start our study. Set out to study your word this morning. We want to thank you for the Bible and for a copy in our own language. Deeply and be challenged always by the truth that we find here. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, once again this morning, we continue with our verse-by-verse study through the New Testament book of Luke. When we left off last week, we had just begun chapter 10. That he was about to go. They were sent to preach the peace of God and his coming king, repentant. And they were sent knowing full well that not all would those who would be saved. Which brings us to our material for today. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Himself was about to go, these 70 disciples returned with joy, even though we can imagine that their trip was not without its problems. We're not told how long they'd been gone, and it have called them together after the last of them had come back, and a band of faithful followers had left without a money bag or even a knapsack. And while Jesus described their journey as the equivalent of sending them out as lambs among wolves, they're most basic, as Luke tells it, they didn't come back hungry, discouraged, and dejected up against some opposition. It's a pretty sure bet they weren't warmly received, but of hope for all mankind, it also contains the sobering truth about God's judgment sinners would rather not hear. Even so, their initial reason certain about the trip, but yes, they came back encouraged, and they seemed genuinely surprised, subject to us in your name. Apparently, they'd come across them or the two cast out. The disciples felt personally empowered by the experience, as most about them, as some of us might. Instead, they rightly gave the credit in his name. But still, as they put it, the demons are subject to us. And to these disciples by Jesus, for this particular mission. Their abilities, and this example, such things in our lives, in our ministries. Understand, I'm not saying believe that. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. God is on his throne. And he, great mission, he emphasized a ministry of baptism and teaching and obedience. Second, while such power is exciting to think about and can build up our faith, it can also be a power. As one writer put it, their excitement is understandable, but at the same time, the response that Jesus gives them is a bit hard to understand at first, but I think, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Situation. Let's try to find the connection. What Jesus seems to be before the fall of man. If we want to discover what the Bible. In the Old Testament book of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, there's a description of an encounter between. In the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah, Babylon, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. My throne above the stars of God, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now those verses also describe the fall of Satan as an event that had all in his heart. A pride that led him to believe that he could be. Ezekiel also alludes to Satan, though not by name. He describes how Satan was once full of wisdom, and he sinned. Pride had once again become an issue. So when Jesus says here that he saw Satan fall like lightning, that he witnessed God cast Satan out of heaven because of Satan's sinful. First, Jesus believes in Satan. So if you. Second, Satan is a fallen angel who used the free choice that God gave. So if we don't acknowledge the existence of God, and aren't we doing the same thing? Third, God creation. You know, in Eastern thought, yin and yang, but in Scripture, the goodness of God is far greater than the power of evil. In the name of Jesus, for God And his authority is far greater than any demon. Sin or otherwise rebel against the will of God in our lives, we too can call on the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will be our helper. It is an ever-present menace. And none of us, perhaps you've noted when the qualifications of elders are being discussed in 1 Timothy, ability to those who are novices in the faith, lest being puffed up with. So it is, as here, even when we're doing good things for the kingdom of God, pride can sneak in and defile our offering. When we experience success in life or even in ministry, as these 70 did, we must be especially vigilant. For as one writer observed, the darkness can still be overpowering us. Well, this is real. And we are never in more peril than when we forget how vulnerable we are. Verse 19. Power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't know how many times I read that before I just came to the good and proper conclusion. I'm not. On its face, Jesus is giving these 70 disciples access to his divine. He seems to be telling them that as God's messengers, they are protected while they are doing what God has called may be literal, at least for these 70. But the idea that they would trample on them, reading makes even more like a metaphor used to describe evil itself, power of the enemy. Now, certainly this is true for all believers, that by faith in Jesus, we the promise of eternal life, you are saved by grace through faith and in an ultimate. That said, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife tells us that there are 15 native snake rattlesnake that has poisonous venom that is dangerous to humans. Now, you're not likely to find any of them out and about around here, especially this time of year, but be careful. Instead, the literal meaning behind this verse, if it were literally intended at all, would probably have been limited to his immediate audience. Jesus is not saying that you and I can trample on serpents and scorpions without any concern for our own safety. Allow our fear of nature or even the devil himself to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We are, except perhaps a healthy fear of our own pride. Especially pleased that even the demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 20. Subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. High and puts the issue of pride in its perfect perspective. Pride keeps lost souls from admitting their sin and trusting Jesus to forgive them. Never be worthy of God's blessing on their own merits. At the same time, pride keeps saved people from living life in victory over sin, gospel without fear, and keeps us from a life of sacrifice devoted to serving and saving of faith. It may be said that pride is the enemy of praise. Power, then we withhold praise from God who gave us that power in the first place. Able to employ miraculous power to expel demons, these disciples ought to be rejoicing in their own. The God of the universe loved us so much, he made himself a sacrifice for the sin rebellion and offer us the forgiveness that can forever restore our relationship with the Father to fulfill his promise of eternal life for all who put their faith in him. But the promise, the essence of that promise has been valid where there was no way. He determined to take upon himself. So whether the death and resurrection of Jesus is still in the future, is the promise foretold. Jesus is the promise fulfilled that you will be saved. And of course, God is always faithful to keep his. They're going to die. Even the daughter of Jairus and the son of the widow from Nain, though raised. Such miracles are awesome and certainly worthy of praise. So do not rejoice in this. that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are in heaven. It's simply another way of describing believers, but it comes from an idea of names. This is also found in Psalms to the Book of the Living. In Daniel 12, it's written in the book. The prophet Malachi refers to a book of remembrance. The practice then continues in the New Testament, where in Philippians 4, verse 3, Paul referred in a similar way, the author of Hebrews refers to the church as the near the end of Revelation. John describes the glory of the new. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. If you have believed in Jesus, are written in heaven. And as Luke describes it, Jesus uses the, which reinforces the promise of our salvation. Furthermore, we're told that the Greek word translated. So these inscriptions in God's book aren't common matters of little interest. They are important. In contrast, when the Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, unbelievers shall be written. Notice also that this is said to be the only recorded interest. Instant. Of course, the Christian life should be dominated by the joy of our salvation and of the presently condemned state of unbelievers everywhere. But we need to remember that the greatest wonder of all is the reality of our own chief matter that all of the other miracles point to. Every believer's assurance of salvation. God knows all those who believe, not because he might forget, but so that we might be reminded of our infinite grace. Verse 21. That you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, by telling his disciples that their names are written in heaven, Jesus perceives that they have understood. Jesus was deeply moved, and the Holy Spirit led him to rejoice. Our Heavenly Father, for his kindness, especially to all of us who are weak and frail, as the need to repent, prudent. Of course, wisdom and prudence are godly things. We're not of sarcasm in these words. I mean, after all, the Jewish leaders, the learned scribes, and there was no way that Jesus could be the Messiah. Because of it, the truth of the gospel was hidden from them. But while the proud and the haughty can be hard for us to love and forgive, we need for love and forgiveness. Yourself and admit that you have need of something you cannot accomplish on your own. People out there who are wise and prudent in their own eyes, but they lack a simple Holy Spirit and receive the forgiveness that they require. Need. In Psalm 51, verse 12, he asked God to forgive his sin and uphold me by your generous spirit. Of fellowship with God when his lust led him to turn away from God's who was faithful to speak the truth. David was humbled and he repented. As Paul explained in 1 Corinthians, instead he has chosen the foolish things of the world to the things that are mighty. It's not that God's opposed to intellectuals, but those who are merely wise according to the flesh will often, a seasoned believer who has followed Jesus for many years, or a new convert, a child, he's not welcome. And he does some of his best work through willing heart to us, but Jesus is pleased to defer to his Father's will, for so it seemed good in your sight, him and the things that he provides. Verse 22. The Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son. I read that one a few times too. But I think in the end, it looks. We know Jesus sent out disciples to share the for the simple faith of those who were willing to go out, devoted and obedient, while trusting God. Jesus now acknowledges that all things have been delivered to him by the Father. It's a statement of ultimate authority. It comes from the Father. Also, the Son of God and his heavenly Father have hand. As one writer suggested, there are many mysteries connected to how could a child be born of a virgin? How could God become a man? And Jesus has both the authority and the ability to reveal the truth of God to anyone God has chosen to reveal it to us. But remember, we are special because we were chosen. And we who have believed to the Son, to ourselves, and then extending outward to those that we tell, a chain of revelation. Knowing Jesus is so crucial to you and I. Verses 23 and 24. Said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. God parting the Red Sea. Just so, in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In nature, in the person of Christ, disciples, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many, we know in the Old Testament, many prophets toiled in order to reach the one who inspired their words and directed their steps. To hear his voice. What was revealed to these disciples is a blessing, the blessing that we will all receive in eternity, where we will live forever in Messiah, and his mighty works are the very things that the prophets and kings of old animated their lives and guided their thoughts. He is the living embodiment of the God. Even though we have not seen Jesus in the flesh with our own eyes, the Holy Spirit has. We have not heard Jesus with our own ears. The Holy Spirit has inspired his word, and this gift of his presence in our lives, we are truly blessed. Blessing to others. So as we go through this life, we have desired. He is the only one they're searching for and the one they long to see. His words is the truth they long to hear, whether they know it or not. We've been chosen by God to represent Jesus to those who don't know him yet. It should be our joy to tell them how Jesus died to forgive our sins on earth until we too are blessed to see him face to face. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this picture of joy among your disciples, and we long to see you powered in self-importance even as we engage in the most important work that day. We will be pleased to see your work in us and through us. We are grateful that you did not reserve your blessing only for those who are wise in worldly ways, Savior. Help us to share our joy and your peace. Amen.